You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
If you don't listen to the playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks!
Been a while since we've done one of these.
That it is. It has.
What was the last one? Like
August, end of August, you said today. That's a long ass time. Because it is currently December the 16th.
We're recording this on December the 16th.
It is 2 o'clock exactly. That's good.
It is insane. It has been
Months
August, since we recorded September, the last one.
5 months. Oh my god.
Wow. Welcome to The Playbook, 95BFM's dedicated sports podcast. I'm Joe. I'm here with none other than Smashton.
And a bottle of vanilla Coke.
We've got some hand sanitizer as well. Been playing around with that.
Oh, yeah.
I dropped my cap, so I'll be very careful with that now.
Yes, the playbook is 95BFM's dedicated sports podcast. Sam's moving the mic around.
I guess that came
testing
through.
Everything. Feel like it's been an eternity since we were last in here. And we've got a really good show planned.
Yes.
We're talking about heaps of issues. So yeah, stick around.
Let's do it.
Enjoy. Sit back and yeah.
Excuse me.
First topic.
Yes.
World Cup.
Yes.
It's been going on. It's about to go
end.
About to end.
World Cup, despite the controversy surrounding the lead up to the World Cup, it has been a very, very good World Cup in terms of sporting wise, in terms of the game of football. Some massive upsets, some unexpected teams to go through all the way to the semi-finals. Morocco, out of nowhere, made it to the semi-finals and are due to play. They lost to France in the semi-final and are due to play Croatia on Sunday morning, 4 a.m., for the third and fourth place at the FIFA World Cup. Now, Morocco aren't a team that are exceptionally good on paper.
Fan favourites for this tournament, though. Like, they've definitely won the hearts of many fans with this crazy run they've been on.
Because they have a few good players. They have a few good players that are dotted around the major leagues of Europe. Namely, you've got Hakim Ziyech, plays for Chelsea. Yassine Bono and Youssef El-Nesyri, both play for Sevilla in Spain. Mm. Among others, like Nordin Amrabat as well, or Sofiane. I think it's Sofiane Amrabat. He plays for Fiorentina in Italy. He has had an exceptional World Cup. Played a huge role in Morocco's surge to near World Cup final glory. Fun fact about the Moroccan team, they're the first African nation in the history of the World Cup, in the history of the African Football Federation, to reach a World Cup semi-final. Last time it came close was Ghana, almost reached the semis, but were knocked out by Uruguay in 2010 in very controversial circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why was it so controversial?
So it was a very close game, and Ghana had a corner. Had a goal-scoring opportunity, and like straight off the head into the back of the net. But Luis Suarez, arguably Uruguay's greatest all-time player, but essentially punched the ball off of the line, which gave Ghana a penalty, which Ghana missed. It's horrible sportsmanship.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's South American football in a nutshell. We had the same kind of instance with Peru. And when we played them in the last World Cup's qualifiers,
it's
not dirty. It's dirty to someone who's not used to it, but it's very, very passionate. Is the correct way to put it? Because it's pretty standard practice amongst South American countries to be very passionate, very fiery about football. Mm. Like, do you know, Joe, about what happened with New Zealand and Peru back in 2018?
Not familiar with what happened, no.
So, Peru came here for the first leg of the final qualifier for the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Nil all draw, a really close game. So that means with the second leg, we had as much of a chance to qualify as Peru did. So there was delays at the airport, fans outside shooting fireworks at the early hours of the morning. Apparently, like military jets flew past the hotel they were staying in.
Oh, man.
Just kind of like scare tactics but like really extreme ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty, and they ended up losing. Peru beat us quite well. But yeah, it was definitely a learning curve for people who weren't familiar with South American football. I was furious at the time. I was like, it's cheating, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But then having kind of looked more into South American footballers and football, it's a huge, huge part of South American sporting culture, football, and the ways they play it.
We've talked about this before with where fans go over the top during games. You know, it's happened in numerous sports, not just football, but I feel like football, it's more common.
Yeah, the hooligan culture can be a bit excessive sometimes.
Yeah, hooligan culture especially.
It seems to have relaxed a bit now with like the lack of live games throughout COVID. But actually, an instance from the World Cup was there's a 10-year-old Moroccan fan who was giving Ronaldo in Portugal some grief in an interview, and she's like maximum 10 years old, just a little girl, and she was like shithousing, she was bantering, it was funny, it was in good spirits, like she's a kid, and she was just having a go at Portugal because Morocco knocked Portugal out of the World Cup. And she just got absolutely attacked by grown-ass men online. So now they want to beat her up and stuff. And
yeah, I was reading about
it's just
about
like,
that.
Dude, it's just a little kid. Like,
extremely immature.
Settle down, you know?
Yeah.
It's too much when you think, when you say, I want to beat the crap out of this little kid, that's too much. Like, you can joke about saying, oh, lol, that's funny. She's bantering, she's shithousing Portugal. But when you actually say, like, I want to beat this kid up or fuck this kid or something, it's just a kid.
Yeah, it is
just
a kid.
Just having fun, you know? It's like kids don't know any better.
It definitely takes away the fun and the, you know.
Like, can you imagine being her parents, like, possibly seeing those comments or family of hers and thinking, like, shit, these, like, they're just, like, absolutely just destroying my little sister or my daughter or my cousin, you know?
It's disgusting.
Scared. Yeah, it's not good at all.
These massive football stars, which have been, you know, large parts of the sport, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, who else? Modric as well.
Modric, yeah. Mbappe. Benzema, unfortunately, was out of the World Cup due to injury, but he would have been a big player.
All these players are on their way out, though.
Yeah, and Sergio Ramos too. I was surprised he didn't get picked for Spain, which is surprising because he did have a pretty bad season last season because he was out injured for most of it, but he's had a great season with PSG so far this season. And yeah, Luis Enrique didn't pick him for Spain, which is a shame because he's 37. Probably, I doubt he'll be carrying on along to the next World Cup in 2026. But yeah, a lot of last World Cups for players, and for the most part, it's been great, especially Modric in Croatia. He's been a big player in how far they've gotten, and Messi basically has carried Argentina. But Ronaldo's a prick. I think Ronaldo is a prick, man. Honestly, he's a hard worker, great athlete, but his attitude is terrible. When he came out, not in the Piers Morgan interview, like, that was disgusting. Like, how old is he? He's 30, 37? He's an absolute role model to literally millions of people, especially Man United fans, and just slanders the entire operation of the club.
Yeah.
That's something you'd expect like a 20-year-old to do, who's just getting into the game, who thinks he's bigger than the rest of it. Sorry, I'm burping. But when you think of someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, who, in all credit to him and Messi have single-handedly changed the standard of football and what it takes to be a professional player and what it was. Like, you've got legends, you've got like Pelé, Maradona, Bobby Moore, Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry, countless of fantastic players in the past, but like the standard that they've set is incredible. And you'd think, you know, you'd handle it professionally. It's not just the sporting side of it, but also the, you know, the character side of it. But I have, and I think a lot of people have lost respect for Ronaldo just because of the way he's carried himself in the last 6 or so months. Started off with the Piers Morgan interview.
Yeah.
And kind of other instances throughout the World Cup, like his reaction to being benched. Like Goncalo Ramos, he came on and scored a hat-trick in the quarterfinal against Switzerland. And that's amazing. He's 21 years old. It's a great start to his career.
Yeah.
Because he's a young Benfica Academy product. He's come through playing for the first team of Benfica, having a great season. Starts over Ronaldo, and he scores a hat-trick. In a World Cup quarterfinal as a 21-year-old. That is incredible. I'm 21. I'm doing nothing with my life, pretty much. I mean, that's not true. But in comparison to, you know, being in a World Cup quarterfinal, it's incredible. Whereas you see Ronaldo just looking at him like real sour. It's like, dude, this guy probably looked up to you growing up, wanting to be you. And imagine if he looks over at the bench and sees Ronaldo sucking. It's just a bad look.
Not a great look, especially if you're... Yeah.
Okay, I'll say this. I think saying he's a prick is a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh because he's a hard worker. He's a very hard-working sportsman. There's stories from Alex Ferguson, his former Man United coach, and lots of people saying he always sticks around after training. But I think he just needs to realize that, you know, he's not what he was. He wasn't in his prime. He was unstoppable at Real Madrid. But now he's 37. He's getting on. He's just not as good as he was. And that's clearly shown in his performances before he left Man United this season. And it's just, and he's just taken it really poorly. Like, you'd think, like, oh, you know, he'd just kind of be like, yeah, I recognise that. I'm going to think about retirement soon. But now he's acting the exact same way he did 10 years ago when he was banging in goals for fun at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And he's just not that player anymore. And he doesn't have, you know, he just needs to realise, bro, like, it's okay to accept that you're not
as good as you were.
And doing that, you can either, you'll have more respect from others. And that's not even like, because I'm sure he validates his fans' opinions, but not as much as his like colleagues and his coaches, because he works so personally with them. I can imagine being in a football team working with your coaches. But like, just it's okay, man. It just makes you look like a real dick if you think you're the bee's knees and you're not.
Yeah.
You know? Like his last few games at Man United, he was on the bench for Anthony Martial, who has had a very lackluster, but a very mediocre career at Man United, and he was doing better than Ronaldo was.
Do you think it's a shared sentiment amongst football fans that Ronaldo is just he's not done, he's just sort of needs to realize that he's not that player that he once was? Because I've heard the same opinion before.
Definitely. I know, because there are some, like one of my very good friends, he loves Ronaldo. I'm sorry, I'm just going to move the mic here. Am I getting a bit creaky?
No, you're good.
That's okay, cool. One of my friends, a really, really good friend of mine, he's a huge, huge fan of Cristiano Ronaldo. And even he's pretty much said, because it's come at a time as well where Messi is playing incredibly well at a similar age, he's playing good for his club, for PSG, but he's playing a huge role in Argentina's run to the final, pretty much uninterrupted, apart from a surprise defeat to Saudi Arabia. It's come at a time where, like, it's so clear that the attitude makes the player as well. And that's why I think some people who normally would defend Ronaldo, like, there's no tomorrow, be like, oh, okay, I actually see, like, what people are talking about now. You know, because it's pretty, like you said, you've heard a few people say this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's pretty clear now. Also considering, you know, it's his last World Cup. He should have left a better mark than he did. Portugal did great, got quarterfinal football. That's really good, even for Portugal. Because Portugal, for a long time, they were carried by Cristiano Ronaldo. They had a pretty average overall squad. But now they're really starting to get some real talent in through their squad. And Ronaldo's kind of moving on his way out, and new players are coming through. He should be mentoring them. He shouldn't be jealous when they're on the field. And that's coming from, like, I don't have any experience playing any high-level football. I mean, I've got a little bit of experience dealing with stuff on a large scale through my social media and knowing how to handle myself.
Yeah.
But, like, not in comparison to Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, you get players like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who have always kind of had that dickish personality about them, but, like, that's just who they are. Ronaldo, I mean, it's kind of hypocritical me saying that, but Ronaldo has always been known for his football, but now he could leave the legacy that is, you know, he was a great footballer, but he's just a dick.
Yeah.
Which is not entirely true.
Not great, but
it's just he's just needs to like sit down and realize like maybe I ought to go to the MLS or Saudi Arabia and just play like take the check and play average football. Because there's a rumor he's going back to Real Madrid, and I have a feeling if he goes to Madrid, the exact same thing's going to happen where he's going to be benched for better players, and he's just going to get all shitty about it again. Like a toddler when he doesn't get a fucking cracker, you know?
It'll be interesting. I'd like to move on to...
Yeah, sorry, I've been rambling. My bad.
No, it's all good. I'd like to move on to the final. The World Cup final is obviously on Monday morning, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Odds are quite close. Two very good teams. Yeah, I think at the beginning of the World Cup, there was the whole, you know, the where is Messi thing that was going on. Just saw that going viral. Funnily enough, that same guy who was like, oh, where's Messi from Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
He's now an Argentina fan. He rocked up in the whole Argentina kit and everything. So that was kind of funny, I guess. Yeah. Predictions, thoughts?
Argentina victory. Not sure of the score. Because France, I'm kind of surprised France got this far. Like, they have, their team depth is miles ahead of any other team in the world. Like, if you just look at their squad and the squad you can make up, like an A squad, a B squad, a C squad, all from international first team players, like, outrageous the quality that's in that team. But France, they had a massive injury crisis just before the World Cup started. Christopher Nkunku and Karim Benzema, two of the most informed attackers in the world, both out injured less than a week before the World Cup started.
Yeah.
And Mike Maignan, who's a very good keeper, one of the best up and coming keepers in the world right now. He's out with injury too, as well as a couple others that I can't quite think of. But France were an absolute force to be reckoned with. Hugo Lloris, he's old. He's like 31, but he has played incredible football. Same, like, that centre-back partnership they've got, Jules Koundé and Ibrahima Konaté, unstoppable. Like, if you watch the Morocco game, Konaté single-handedly saved two or three real good chances from Morocco, like, with really good tackles. So, on the other hand, Argentina's almost in identical position, minus the injuries. Some of their squad choices were a bit questionable, but when you have leadership under the likes of Messi and player quality as they do in their Argentine squad, then they put up a good fight.
Yeah.
Although I'm a little surprised that Angel Correa, I don't know if I'll probably butcher that pronunciation, he's a real good striker, but he doesn't get much game time. Julian Alvarez is getting much more game time than him.
Yeah.
But I suppose I could put it down to Messi being a big creator and Alvarez being a bit of a target man, because Messi can dribble, he can pass, and he can finish, but Alvarez is great at making runs and then receiving the ball and shooting. And then, like, even Argentina, they have a good centre-back partnership as well. They got Nicolas Otamendi, who isn't in the best form in terms of his career, but he's got that veteran experience. You know, he knows what it's like playing against big teams. And then you got Lisandro Martinez, who's just made a big move to Man United in the last window. And he's really getting used to big-time football, but he's taking it real well. So it's going to be real even, I reckon. But I want Argentina to win. But honestly, it could go down to penalties, extra time, or it could be an absolute rut.
It'll be a close one, essentially.
I mean, when you look at it, but you never know, honestly. I mean, you think Argentina were going to absolutely blitz through Saudi Arabia. And they got beaten by Saudi Arabia. Same with Australia, France in the group stages. Australia put up a hell of a fight against France.
Yeah.
And it didn't pay off, but
the most surprising World Cup this year, they've said it's been one, a historical one.
Oh, complete mixed bag. Absolutely. Crazy. Absolutely. Well, I'm disappointed. I think one of the teams I'm disappointed in, by the way, if you do want me to shut up and move on to something else, please do say so. I think Brazil could have done better.
Yeah, there was. I think Brazil had a lot of people putting a lot of pressure on them because that insane goal that happened towards the beginning.
Oh, Richarlison, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
I think Croatia were quite lucky to get through to the semis because they won both the quarterfinal game and the semifinal game on penalties, which is, like, props to them for putting up the fight and going through. But, you know, I think I don't think they shouldn't have gone through, but I think they were a bit lucky to get through. Because they have a good team. I mean, they're similar to Morocco. Don't have a very well-known, big boy, fancy, fucking million-dollar player team. But they have players that are dotted around big leagues, but also just quality players. They got Ivan Perisic, Nikola Vlasic, Josko Gvardiol, and Luka Modric. and Andre Komaric all playing in the big leagues, all playing good football around the world. Yeah. And they work together well. And again, same with Argentina. They got good leadership under Luka Modric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's head into, real quick, bust them out. The World Cup is bound to make huge stars.
Big time.
I've heard that spoken about quite a bit. Transfers, transfer predictions. You're our transfer expert. You've done transfer news on here before.
I have.
So what do you think?
So always, like you said, after World Cups, there's always a big... one big money purchase from a club after because one player has an incredible World Cup. The most notable one of recent times would be James Rodriguez in 2014 going to Real Madrid from Monaco, I think it was,
yeah.
After he played very well for Colombia. Personally, this year, I think Jude Bellingham from Liverpool, not from Liverpool, that's where he might be here. Okay. Jude Bellingham, 19-year-old English midfielder. Not only is he a good footballer, but he's got a real mature kind of character as well.
Yeah.
Like, after Harry Kane missed the penalty in the quarterfinal, he went up, Jude Bellingham went up to him and, like, consoled him. Everyone else didn't. And he's 19 years old. He's at Borussia Dortmund at the moment, but I think he'll move on to either Liverpool or City, Man City, for a big sum. If not Jude Bellingham, Enzo Fernandez, 21-year-old Argentine midfielder, plays for Benfica at the moment, signed last at the beginning of this season from River Plate.
Yeah.
Benfica are currently unbeaten in the Portuguese league, so I think he could get a big money move because he's played real well in a very stacked Argentine squad. And I think also Croatia's goalkeeper, Livakovic, I don't know his first name, but he's played well. He played well throughout the tournament, and he's at Dynamo Zagreb in Croatia at the moment. He could get a move away from there, I reckon. I reckon if I was a scout for a club, I'd be looking at him. I'd be looking at Livakovic.
Well, keep an eye out for those transfers. On a side note, the other day I came to you and I sent you this photo of these hybrid friendlies that I just stumbled across. Interesting concept.
Oh, yeah.
The teams playing each other.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Vietnam, Dortmund.
Yeah.
That was the most out-of-pocket one. And Dortmund lost.
We have the... Qatar played the Croatia under-23s back in September. Lost to the Croatia under-23s. Vietnam All-Stars played the Dortmund Legends. Dortmund won 4-1. That was back in September as well. And Vietnam obviously beat Dortmund around the beginning of this month.
That's outrageous.
It's insane. Most recent one, the Thailand under-23s played Laos... last Wednesday. Actually, no, it was this Wednesday, sorry. So 2 days ago. Beat them 5-0.
5-0.
Yeah.
Thailand under-23s beat Laos 5-0.
Yeah.
Dope. Good for them.
Insane.
Sorry, I want to make one more point about the World Cup.
Yeah.
Germany left in the group stage. They got knocked out.
Yeah.
And I think it was down to their squad picking. Because they had the same thing happened in 2018. Got knocked out of the group stage. But this time round, they took four players that were under the age of 20. Or 20 or 23, but they were young as shit. Okay, the youngest player in the World Cup was German. Youssoufa Moukoko turned 18 on the day the World Cup started, on the Qatar versus Ecuador match on the opening day.
Yeah.
I reckon that was their downfall. They left out experienced players that could have helped with mentorship, helped the pressure, but instead they took players that never ended up playing. They just took young players and they should have filled it up spots with players that would have had that experience. Like Mats Hummels, veteran German centre-back. He definitely should have been in that squad. Even though if he's not out of form still, it would be good, a good presence in the team to have to keep everyone level. It's like Pepe for Portugal. He's 40.
Yeah.
Playing in Porto, but he played an integral role in the Portuguese team. Because he's been there, he's done that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to shut up because I've talked so much football today.
You're all footballed out.
No, never. Never footballed
never
out.
Never footballed out.
This is the playbook by Joe, not the playbook by Smashed.
Yeah, I am the involuntary host of the playbook.
Yes, so. I'm very grateful for you for giving me the opportunity to come and talk smack about footy.
Well, we'll quickly rush over. You know, here at the playbook, we like to highlight interesting characters in the sporting world, as well as politics, and go deep on some issues which we feel like don't get talked about a lot. And, you know, Smashton, you introduced me to John Daly the other day. He is his son, obviously, he's a golf player, by the way. Golf plays golf, and you know, he's on the PGA Tour. John Daly II's son plays, but John Daly himself, realistically, I thought it was Donald Trump in a disguise.
John Daly is the people's athlete.
I think he is.
He's an ordinary guy, and he's just exceptionally good at what he does. Like, I don't know much about golf. I don't know much about his golfing record, his ability in golf. But he's a guy that he's just a guy. Like, the only thing I know about John Daly is that he returned to the PGA Tours, and there was a guy recording, one day he recorded his snacks on one of the tours, and he had something like 6 Diet Cokes and 3 bags of peanut M&Ms. It's like that guy that ran the marathon, chain smoked the whole time. Remember, did you see that? That's worth a Google.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, a guy, I think it was in China or Vietnam. He ran a marathon while chain smoking the entire time, and he did really well too.
Let me look it up.
Whereas, like, you know, you'd expect the high performance athletes to be on very specific diets and be fueling with energy gel and like hydro drinks with like Powerades and stuff.
Oh damn! Look at this. His name was Uncle Chen. Ran the Xinjiang Marathon. Oh, sorry, I mispronounced that completely. He was a 50-year-old man in China, and he ran a marathon, literally chain smoking. He's just running with a cigarette in his mouth. Yeah, and less than 3.5 hours. Less than 3.5 hours. Jeez,
it's refreshing, to be honest.
It's quite impressive.
Yeah, man. It's quite interesting as well. Like, because you're speaking of athletes like him and John Daly, just not having conventional diets and such. I remember there was this story done by this local news network in America somewhere, where they interviewed like this 110-year-old woman who was chatty and talkative and as lively as anything. And they said, like, what's the secret to long life? And she's like, I drink a Dr. Pepper every day. I just do what I love, and that keeps me alive. Now, whether this is obviously not medical advice, people, but
less stress. Less stress in your life.
Interesting, the scientific research that has gone into the creation of, like, fitness products, like certain protein powders or energy gels or, like, diets and stuff. And then folks like the ones we've talked about just do whatever they want. And they're still kicking it. Well, you know, it's really interesting.
It's shocking.
I'm not sure about science, though.
It's fascinating, sorry. Shocking is the wrong word to use. Fascinating stuff. Gone are the days of the conventional athlete, I think, in my opinion, at least.
Gone are the days?
Yeah, like the conventional athlete where you think that, you know, there's the whole, what is it? You know, the muscular or very athletic looking. Obviously, they're still around, sure. But like, you know.
Yeah, no, body standards are changing.
Changing by the day.
Yes, by the day. Because, I mean, you know, you see periods of fashion, and it's clear when shit changes over, and not often are you aware when something changes over, like even the last one, the little hipster movement.
Yeah.
Now it's not so popular anymore, that just kind of came out of nowhere. But it's interesting to be consciously witnessing change.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like the kind of body norms in not only real, like just regular everyday life, but athletics. You know, look at, if you, what's the guy's name? Rakeem Cornwall. Search him up. Rakeem Cornwall, he's a West Indian cricketer, and he is an absolute unit.
Damn. Yeah, he is a unit. Who does he play for?
He plays for the West Indies. Yeah, not sure where in the Caribbean he's from, though. Is he Trinidad Tobago or Jamaican or Barbados?
Antigua and Barbuda.
Oh, Antigua and Barbuda.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, honestly, gone are the days of just a conventional athlete. Conventional, but I feel like it's always been like that, just not as much publicity.
I reckon gone isn't quite the right way to describe it, but a new period is imminent where
it's more evident that we're focusing on the athletic skill of
performance
as opposed to
like
how
stamina.
You look.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's hope like Wimbledon kind of changes, all the tennis changes, and all beach volleyball and stuff.
Beach volleyball? Like beach that. Volleyball has a very aesthetic looking. Like people watch it for the, you know.
No doubt. Yeah. And then, like I saw like a women's beach volleyball team complaining about their uniform just basically being undies and, like, just a small crop top. It's like, they kind of have a point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if a bunch of dudes came on the World Cup final just wearing undies.
Budgie smugglers.
And a t-shirt.
Budgie smugglers?
Yeah. Like, speedos. Like, oh, my God. But it's like, it's kind of the point. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, of course it's, like, what it's always been like, but no harm in change.
Yeah. Well, that's been us. I want to do an outro because...
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.